It actually wasn't meant to be me this morning. Some of you will remember a young man called Joel Penson, who came maybe 2 months ago. Joel decided to fall off a climbing wall and basically broke his back. So he's in the process of healing and recovering, and he's doing well. Hallelujah. So Joel, we just speak healing over you in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, that you've put a gift inside that young man to encourage. And we thank you that we will hear from him here again in Jesus' name. Amen. So we are at the end of our foundational teaching series. That's not good enough reaction. We are at the end of our foundational teaching series. There we go, that's better. It's been a journey, has it not? Yeah, I mean, I can't remember the second when we started exactly, but it must be 18 months, something like that, that we've been looking at the kind of teaching that the Bible gives us that really gives us a strong foundation for us to be able to stand on. And over the next 2 weeks, and I know Joanna is carrying a message for next week, which you'll be blessed by, we're going to be talking about how we bring, why have we gone through all of this foundational teaching. And when I was asking the Lord what I should share, I felt this phrase, bringing us all to maturity. The purpose of your Christian life is not to stay as a child. Because when we are first born again, when we become a Christian, we are like a child again. Remember Jesus in his conversation with Nicodemus, the Pharisee, says, to be in the kingdom of God, you must be born again. And he was like, well, how? How can you be, can you go back into your mother's womb and be born again? How does that work? It was a very odd thing that he felt Jesus had said, but Jesus was saying there has to be a rebirth, and we're born like children, but we're not meant to stay as children. Now, maturity is that process of moving from, and this is how the dictionary defines it, it's that process of moving from childhood to adulthood. We all go through that process in our lives of maturing. Our bodies mature. And in fact, they carry on maturing. And many of us wish that they wouldn't carry on maturing. And other things mature. Janet knows this story well, because it was her house it happened in. When Rachel and I got married, I went to France to buy some grape juice for the wedding. But we bought some cheese. A brie. Anyone like brie?
Yeah.
We bought a big, big wheel of brie. It's cheese. 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 It's a French cheese. Now the thing about brie, when you first buy it, it's usually not at that moment really ready if you know your cheese. It's not ready to eat, because it needs to mature. And we had, I don't know, a 2 week gap between me getting back from France with my grape juice and my brie. 3 weeks, sorry, 3 weeks. And I didn't know this, but the brie, the cheese, had been stored on the top of a cupboard in what wasn't the warmest room in the house, but probably the second warmest room in the whole house. And after about a week, Janet started walking into Rachel's room and saying, "What is the smell? What is that smell?" And Rachel's like, "I don't know what the smell is. I don't know what the smell is." So about, I don't know, a couple of days before the wedding, we went and got the cheese from this shelf where it had been sitting for 2.5 weeks in heat. And we brought it down, and it was myself and my dad, I think, opened this thing. Oh, it was mature. It had matured to the point that it was turning back into its liquid form. But myself and my dad, being, you know, connoisseurs of cheese, we were like, "This will be okay." So we put it out onto the wedding table. The only two people that sampled that cheese was my dad. It was the best brie, the best cheese you ever tasted. I mean, the flavors, oh my goodness, were just so rich. Oh, the best cheese I've ever eaten. Nobody else touched it. And on my wedding night, my wife was marginally irritated that I'd chosen to eat a very smelly cheese. Now, we're not meant to mature like that cheese so that we smell and put people off, but we are meant to let the flavors that God puts in us become richer and more mature, so that actually, and you know, the fragrance of God is not the fragrance of cheese. The fragrance of God is a sweet smelling fragrance. And you and I, we are meant to smell good. But the only way that we truly begin to reach a maturity of fragrance is by allowing God to speak to us through his word and into our hearts, so that we can come to maturity. Oswald Chambers, a famous Scottish Baptist pastor, said this: "Spiritual maturity is not reached by the passing of the years, but by obedience to the will of God." Just because you've been in church for a long time does not mean that you are mature. The only way that you reach maturity is by being obedient to God's word to your life. And the first revelation of that is by his word, the scriptures, the Holy Scriptures. Which is why we'll never stop saying, be in your Bibles. Be in your Bibles. If you're not reading your Bible, you will not be mature. Any of you here that are new to the faith at all, you're a new Christian, you can listen to me or Pastor Yinka or Pastor Joanna or Pastor Mabel or anyone else preach on a Sunday. But But you will not be mature by listening to a sermon once a week. You will be mature because you're reading your Bible and you're being obedient to how the Lord leads you as you read it. You know, the Holy Spirit, He is given to us as a helper, as an encourager. But if the Word of God is not in us, the Holy Spirit, He has nothing to work with. We're meant to be people of the Word and of the Spirit. And if you don't have the Word in you, the Holy Spirit, He is not as able to work in your life as He might do so. I want you to open your Bibles, and I want us to read this together, to Colossians chapter 1. Because this is where we're going to spend our time this morning. And I'm going to read from verse 9 all the way to the end of the passage. It's not on the screen. We're going to look at bits of it, which will be on the screen in a minute. But the whole passage isn't there. But it's good for you to open your Bibles. So whether you've got it on your phone, or you've got a Bible with you, let's look at this together. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of His will, through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, and being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of His holy people in the kingdom of light. For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. And He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything He might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Him, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through His blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now He has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in His sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. Now I rejoice in what I am suffering for you, and I fill up my flesh what is lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions, for the sake of His body, which is the church. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the Word of God in its fullness. The mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. And may God bless the reading of his word. There's a lot in there. And again, it gives a really rich, Paul gives a really rich, beautiful understanding of everything that Christ has made possible for you and I. In the middle bit of the passage, which we won't look at in detail today, Paul writes and makes clear that if you want to know what God is like, in verse 15, it makes it abundantly clear. The Son is the image of the invisible God. If you want to understand who God is, look at Jesus. You don't need to look anywhere else. If you want to know who God is, his character, his love, his grace, his healing power, his mercy, his ability to redeem and restore, to make things new, you just look at Jesus and we understand who our God is. Yes, there's so much stuff in the Old Testament we can learn about who God is. We can learn his names. We can understand part of who he is through his works, through Israel, through the history of the Jewish people. But Paul makes it clear, if you want to know who God is, someone asks you, I don't understand God. Explain God to me. Well, I get my Bible out and say, well, I'm going to tell you about Jesus. Because Jesus is the exact representation of who God is. I just want to dig into a few verses here. So if you go back to verse 9, and that's on the screen. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. It's mind-blowing, astounding, that God who created the world, God who created the universe, has made his will, has made his thoughts open, not just to angelic beings and creatures, and in fact we're given to understand that they don't know all of God's will, but to you and I, those that he created, those that he made in his own image, He has made his will open to us. And this means that if we live unaware of God's will, if we live unaware of the things that he has to say to us, we're ultimately being really very silly. Because if you had the blueprint to get to, you know, to get to the very top, I don't know, of a business, you know, you said, wow, I can get the senior position, and I've got the roadmap in my hands to get there. I mean, would you not be looking at that thing the whole time and going, what? Right, I've got to do this, and then I've got to do that. And then this, and then, wow, look now. I'm at the top. I can see everything that's going on in this business. I'm in charge. I can make decisions. I can make good choices. Because I've been given the blueprint. Well, that isn't far from what God has done in giving us his will and wanting us to be filled with the knowledge of his will through all wisdom and understanding. Why? Because he is reigning over everything. And guess what? He's inviting you and I up to join him. And he's given us the blueprint to how to get there. And so the purpose of going through all this foundational teaching is to give you the ability to be able to step up into who God has made you in reigning with him in life. And it's, you know, it's so key that we understand this. Now, it's also really important that we don't get a grand sense of who we are. Because Jesus came as a servant. And if we're not careful, then we can use the knowledge of what God has given us, and we can use it for our own benefit and to elevate ourselves and to just big ourselves up, to make ourselves seem, oh, I'm so much better than everybody else because I know what's going on and nobody else does. That's not how Jesus behaved. Jesus spent his whole time that he was here on earth trying to educate, 12 people most of the time, but usually more people than that. He spent trying to explain and give away the knowledge of God. It's so important that any revelation that you get, you know, sometimes God speaks to me and it's just for me. But most of the time, anything that God gives me is meant to be shared. Anything that God gives you is usually meant to be given away. It's usually meant to edify and encourage and build up those who are around you. Because as verse 10 says, we want to live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. Bearing fruit. You know, a fruit tree doesn't bear fruit for itself. You know, an apple tree in your garden doesn't grow apples so that it can eat the apples. No, the apple tree bears the apples and they go to everybody else. So when you bear fruit in your life, it's meant to be for, and that's how we live a life that's worthy of the Lord. Because again, if we go back to what Paul says later on, the Son is the image of the invisible God. I can never get away from, in John chapter 13 or 14, I think it's 13, where Jesus knows that he's about to go to the cross. He knows, and it says this at the beginning of the chapter, he knows who he is. He knows where he's come from, and he knows where he's going back to. And what he chooses to do is get down on his knees, having wrapped a towel around his waist, and wash the feet of his disciples. You know, this is who our God is, this is who Jesus is, and the example that we should follow. Insights from the Spirit. You know, insights from the Spirit is not a mystical thing. And other religions that, you know, wrap things up in mystery. You know, even when you get to stuff like, you know, the stuff that you shouldn't engage with, tarot readings, horoscopes, all that kind of stuff, it gets shrouded in mystery. You know, it's all very mysterious. And it's important that we understand, and Paul makes it clear here, that the insights that God gives to us through the Spirit, as the Spirit opens you up to what God's Word has to say, this isn't hidden stuff. It was once a mystery. Paul writes it there, and we read it just. It was once a mystery, but now it's not a mystery. God has made his revelation open to you. He has made his counsel open to you. I love, you know, when Jesus talks about fruit in John chapter 15. He talks about, yes, we all need to go through a process of having the bits chopped off us that don't need to be there. And that can be a painful process. Now, I remember in my early discipleship, I was having to deal with issues of character. Has anyone ever had God deal with their character? It can be a painful experience. You know, I remember once, before I got saved, I had an issue with anger. And I used to lose my temper. Like, just like that. And normally, and I've always been like this, you know, I'm a very peaceful person, like the majority of the time. But when I used to lose my temper, I would lose it just like that. It would just like go from 0 to 100 miles an hour. Like no build-up. I just go. And I remember it was the silliest of things. But I was next to my car, and I suddenly got really, and it was over something that was so small. And there was a group of people with me. And, you know, I knew that I had this issue. But it was one of those times where I'm trying to hide it from God. Like, God, you don't really see my anger, God. You don't really see what, you know, you see me when I'm praising you, and you see me when I'm reading my Bible, and you see it when I'm with my... in my church, and you know, you see me there, but you don't see this. No, I'm hiding this really, really well. And I was next to my car, and I can't remember what it was that caused me to go, but I went. And I was next to the wheel, and I just kicked the hubcap. It was just like flimsy plastic. It was anyone remember a Proton? Proton's a type of car. Maybe from Indonesia, I'm not sure actually. But I kicked this thing and it shattered into about four or five pieces and fell to the floor. And I was with a group of Christians. One of the people that discipled me. And he just came over and he just put his arm around me. And he just said, is that the reaction of someone that wants to follow Christ? And I immediately, I heard his voice, but I felt God convict my heart in that moment that I needed to deal with these moments of just like rage that would just spring up. And so he took me quietly off. I think we got back into our YWAM base, and he took me off, and we prayed and we read the scriptures, and pretty much from that day on, I've never had to deal with that thing again. You know, when God deals with us, it's important that we let him, because he wants to do it for your benefit, not so that you can just work for him. No, he wants to do it because he loves you, because you're his child, because you know he cares about you. And if you're trying to hide, which is useless, because he'll set you up like, I'd spent all this time trying to pretend like God didn't know about it. And so he was like, well, we're going to have to do this publicly. And that's what happened. Because everyone else that was with me saw what happened. And so, you know, bang went, oh, there's a Gareth, he's a super spiritual guy. Now Gareth just lost it, bro, kicked a hubcap and it broke. You know, so don't take it from me. If you've got issues and you know you've got an issue, deal with it with God. Get in your Bibles, talk to somebody you trust. Don't do what I did and wait, and then it has to be sorted out publicly. Just another couple of verses and we begin to come into land. And these are the ones that talk about maturity. So just come to the end of the passage. And we're going to look at... We're going to look at 27, 28, 29. Should be the next slide. 26 and 27, thank you. The mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. So then God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And he is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. There are people who dreamed in the Old Testament of knowing what you and I know. Amazing people that we read about in the Bible. David, King David. He could see from far off what God wanted to do. Even Moses. Moses could see from far off that there was something that God wanted to do. John the Baptist, who came proclaiming Christ but never got to see the new kingdom come in, the new covenant born. There are people that we read about that longed. They longed to have the revelation that you and I now have. And so it's so important that we don't waste what we've been given. We don't waste the truth that God has given us, that the things that we've been looking at for the past 18 months. If you want to be presented fully mature, if I'm any kind of leader, if Mabel's any kind of leader, if Joanna is any kind of leader, we will be all working so hard to try as best as we can to bring all of you as much as we can to maturity. Because otherwise we're just wasting our time paddling around in the shallows rather than jumping fully into the river, knowing that we can swim, knowing that whichever way the current takes us, wherever God wants us to go, we can cope with it because we've matured, because we've built resilience and strength, and we've spent time with Him getting to understand His will. There's four things that I picked out, I think, impacts of spiritual immaturity. Next slide. First impact of spiritual immaturity, of staying as a person who is immature, you'll be satisfied with milk and not solid foods. You know, if you just like having your ears tickled by nice things, by nice words, you know, I really hope that this church is never going to be the place for you. I really hope that you'll want to move on into the solid food, the meat of what God has to say to us. Because some of it's really, really hard. It calls us to live a life that is alternative to the world around us. And yet, we all know we can get so comfortable and so used to the world and used to the nice things and the nice house and the nice car and the good job and everything else. But what if tomorrow it all got ripped away? What if tomorrow it all went? Would you still be secure? Because those that are mature will find themselves standing in Christ even when everything else seems to crumble away. Number two, you look at man and not at God. You know, Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 5, because people, it's not too different to today, to be honest. People are kind of following the good preacher. I like what they're preaching, so I'm going to go and listen to them. Oh, I like what they're saying, I'm going to go over here. And if we want to be mature, if we want to be mature, then we will commit ourselves to Christian community. We will give ourselves to a place because we can see that God has placed us here. And yes, there are some fantastic people to listen to. But if you are chasing chasing people all over the country or all over the world. Or there's a place for it. There is. If God is doing something, then by all means, go and taste, go and receive, but bring it back, share it. You know, if we say, and Paul wrote it really, who's Paul? Who's Apollos? We're all servants. We just need to be serving God. Number three, impact of spiritual immaturity. You won't be aware when the church begins to resemble the world and not God's kingdom. You know, this is a thing about our country. I can only talk for the UK. Part of the reason we are in such trouble right now, part of the reason that we've allowed this theology of false theology, in that, you know, God accepts every kind of behavior, that we just have to love people, that that grace is enough for everybody. Yeah, that's true. God's grace is enough for everybody, but his judgment is also real. His judgment is very, very real. And in our churches, because we've not grown up, we've not had the maturity that we should have had, all these false ideologies, all these false things have come in, and we've let them in. And now we're fighting a battle. Because we've realized that it's in. But it's now almost too late. And we're going to be fighting where we didn't need to fight. And number four, sign of spiritual immaturity is that you will place your emphasis on intellectualism and not on Christ. I know that there's many people in this room that have good minds, good brains, much better than mine. I know there's people in this room that are far, far cleverer than I am. And I'm not ashamed to know that. But if you just rely on your ability to think and reason, if you just rely on your ability to know, to have knowledge, to just read the Bible and be able to have read the Bible, then you'll never have the full revelation of what it means to walk as a Christian, to be mature, because being mature means that everything you do centers upon Jesus. Everything. Amen. When you read the Bible, you read it through the lens of Jesus Christ. When you walk outside into your workplace, you walk in Jesus. When you go home and you are parents to your children, you parent them in Jesus. When you encourage a friend that's struggling, it's not just nice words and platitudes that come out of your mouth. No, it's encouragement in Jesus. Everything that we do has to center on Jesus. And coming back to number three, part of the reason that we're struggling, part of the reason that things are in the church that should not, this ungodliness in the church, is because we took our eyes off Jesus. Amen. If you put your eyes on Jesus, you see a cross. If you put your eyes on Jesus, then you see Jesus bleeding and being whipped. If you put your eyes on Jesus, you see the crown of thorns. If you put your eyes on Jesus, you see him being mocked and abused by the Roman soldiers. If you put your eyes on Jesus, you'll see him being abused and jeered at by a huge crowd. If you put your eyes on Jesus, If you put your eyes on Jesus, you'll see that he paid a price. A huge one for us. And if we don't remember that in our day-to-day, then we'll always be accepting of things that Christ gave his very life for, to overcome. You'll have mindsets and thoughts in your head that shouldn't be there because you've not let Jesus overcome them in you, which is what he died for. So let's, church, let's be people of maturity. Let's be people that grow up. Let's be people that, as a community, resemble Christ well, represent him well, because we've grown up fully mature in him. Will you please stand? Maybe encourage you to just read over that passage a few times this week. Just yourselves in your quiet time. Just read over Paul's words. Remember what Christ has done. That he's opened up this mystery to you. That he's made his revelation open to you. And that he wants you to grow up in maturity as you walk in that revelation, as you walk in what was a mystery but has now been revealed to the church, to God's people. So Lord, I want to pray first of all today. Lord, I want to ask you that this 18 months of going subject by subject, scripture by scripture, conversation by conversation, Lord, it wouldn't have been a waste. Lord, that we would allow your word to enrich us, to bring us to maturity. Lord, I pray that you create an environment in the gate, Lord, where we are growing spiritually mature. Lord, you create an environment in the gate where we, because of our love for your words, because of our love for your holy word to us, would be encouraging one another to be more like Christ. Not just giving our best advice. Our advice is good. Your word is so much better. So Lord, I want to pray for us today. Lord, I want to ask for the gates, Lord, that you would give us an increasing love, an increasing hunger, an increasing desire to know your word to us. Lord, because we want to be a revelation of Jesus to the world. And Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit will just come day after day, week after week, month after month, and make us more like Jesus.